Well, once again, I want to welcome everyone to New Life Worship Center this morning. Those that are in-house with us, our second Sunday back from the pandemic, and it's so good to have live bodies in the pews here this morning. So good to see faces and just to welcome folks back. And we want to welcome you guys back as well, all across the country, even around the world. And our family back in New Orleans, we're praying for you guys for that hurricane coming in. Well, not quite a hurricane, but a pretty hefty storm coming in today in New Orleans. Our prayers are with all of our family back there. Stay safe. We'll be calling you later today to check on you. But we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. We talked last Sunday, started a brand new series called Crisis Praying. We talked about a king, King Jehoshaphat, and his war against an invading army of Ammonites and Moabites, and also another army from Mount Seir, and how God rescued them and how God delivered them. There was a priest that gave a prophetic word about what was going to happen, and the battle ended just as he said, that the nation of Israel would be protected, that the armies would not be able to conquer Jerusalem. And so this morning, in the second part of Crisis Praying, we're going to look at a different story in Scripture, but one that is really similar. It's another king, and this king is King Hezekiah, and there's also an invading army of a king, and his name is Sennacherib. And so let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18, 2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to begin at verse number 17. And the word says this: the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. They call for the king. They call for King Hezekiah to come out. And Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph the recorder, went out to them. So King Hezekiah didn't go out. He sent these three men to hear what this field commander had to say. And this is what he says. The field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours?" Kathy asked us that question earlier in our worship time. What is our confidence in? Who is our trust in? And that's what this guy is asking King Hezekiah. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. Remember what we sang this morning as well. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we're going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that's what Hezekiah was doing. And so this guy says, again, another question: on whom are you depending that you rebel against me? The king, Sennacherib, is asking that of King Hezekiah. He says, who are you depending on that you have chosen to rebel against me? Well, let's skip down to verse number 25. And this guy continues his threats to Hezekiah and the nation of Judah. He says, furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this place without word from the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. Well, that's just like the devil to lie. God didn't tell that guy that. God didn't tell that king to come and destroy Israel. That was the furthest thing from the mind of the Lord. And we know that it never happened. Let's skip down to verse number 31. He continues this speech to King Hezekiah and to the people. He says in verse 31, don't listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me, and then every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life, not death. I want to pause there for just a second. He's telling him, don't listen to what Hezekiah is telling you. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me. The devil is constantly trying to get us to make peace with him. Come my way. Serve me. Live the way that I want you to live. Live the way, any way you want to live. Just be yourself. Whatever feels good, do it. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Make peace with me, this enemy king says. And the enemy of our soul tells us the same thing. Come out to me, and then I'll give you a place where you can eat what you want, you can drink what you want, and I'll take you to a land just like your own. Another lie of the enemy, you know? God had given them the promised land. This was the best on earth. But he says, I'm going to take you to a place just like where you are now, a place of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. So choose life, not death. Well, that's been the lie of Satan all along. He says, if you'll follow me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, all that stuff that the enemy says. But it's not true. He has no power to give life and death. Only God can give life and death. And so let's pick back up. He says, do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? So how then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? What arrogance in this king Sennacherib that's invading the land of Israel. I want us to skip down to chapter 19, verse 1. Just one verse there, and then we're going to move forward. And he says this, when King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth, and look at this, he went into the temple of the Lord. He didn't run down to the army to find out, do we have enough horses? Do we have enough chariots? Do we have enough soldiers? No, he goes to the temple of the Lord. And we have to go all the way to the book of Isaiah to find out what did Hezekiah do. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 37, and we're going to pick up at verse number 14. In the NIV, the subtitle here says, Hezekiah's Prayer. So we know that when Hezekiah went into that temple, he went there to pray and to ask God to help in this time of crisis. Where do you go in your time of crisis? Hezekiah knew where to go. He went to the temple and he went to God in prayer. Let's pick up at verse 14 of Isaiah 37. And he writes, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and he read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and I love this. He spread it out before the Lord. He takes this letter with all these threats that we just read about, and he just lays it out before the Lord on the altar. And it's like he's saying, Lord, read it for yourself. Look what we've heard, the words. Here they are written in written form. Now read it for yourself. I'm laying it out before you. He spread it out before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. So give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. And then I love this in verse 18. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these people and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods at all, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, we're more intelligent now. We don't have idols of wood or stone that we bow down to and worship. Certainly nothing that we've made with our own hands. But what do we worship in this country? Kathy mentioned it earlier. Is it our bank account? Is it our job? Is it some career? Is it some position of authority? What is it that we bow down to and worship today? But they're not gods. It's only stuff that we've made up in our minds. And then verse 20, he says, Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, from the hand of Sennacherib, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. You know, through all this pandemic, everything we've been through, everything we're still going through, I want the Lord at some point to get the glory and the honor for how he brings us out of this. He alone is Lord. He alone is God. Amen? And there is no other anywhere on the face of this earth. Well, let's go a little bit further. We're going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 19. We read verse 1 a while ago where Hezekiah went to the temple. And then what we just read from Isaiah was what he did there. He prayed a great prayer of deliverance for his nation. So now let's pick the story back up in 2 Kings 19, and let's pick up at verse number 2. Hezekiah sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priests, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. The guy that we just read about just a few moments ago, that he recorded the prayer of Hezekiah in the temple. Verse 3 says this, Isaiah this, "This is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress. It's a day of rebuke, and it's a day of disgrace." Hezekiah is feeling all kinds of emotions as this army is invading his land. You and I have been through all kinds of emotions as this virus has invaded our country and the nations of the world. We've gone through highs and lows, ups and downs, and one moment you're feeling pretty good, the next moment you're a little bit stressed, you're worried, you're fearful, all kinds of emotions that we go through in a day's time. And that's where Hezekiah is. He says, "Tell Isaiah, this is a day of distress. It's a day of rebuke, and it's a day of disgrace." It's like when children come to the point of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. Verse 4 says, "It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he, God, will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives." I love the fact that God always has a remnant. In every generation, in every situation, in every crisis that's ever been or ever will be, there's always a remnant that listen for the voice of God. There's always a remnant that choose to continue to serve the living God. And so it's awesome. He says, "Pray for the remnant that's still surviving today." Verse 5, "When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, 'Tell your master, this is what the Lord says.'" Last week, there was a priest that rose up, and he gave a prophetic word about the outcome of the battle. Now we have a prophet, Isaiah, giving a prophetic word also. Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." God realizes that, you know what? This king is not just coming against the nation of Israel. This king is really coming against me. It's the attack of the enemy against me. And we're seeing that in the world today as well. This is not just an attack upon nations or upon a nation or upon a people or a people group. This is the enemy flaunting what he wants to right now at this point in the face of God. Flaunting, "Well, you stop this. You know, nobody can stop this, but you try to stop it." And, of course, God is going to take control in this, no doubt about it. And so we see, he says, "Don't be afraid of what you've heard. Don't be afraid of the words that you've heard." And I think we can all relate to that as well. If you've watched much news, much coverage of this, everything is so negative. Everything is so negative. Just wanting to inflict fear, wanting to put us on edge, wanting to make us, just waver in the comforts that we've known, the routines that we're accustomed to, anything to get us out of those things and shake us up and concern us and worry us and inflict fear and panic in us. Don't listen to those things. Don't be afraid of what you've heard, those words. Don't listen to them. Verse 7, "Listen," Isaiah says, "I'm going to put such a spirit in him, that King Sennacherib, that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there in his own country, I will have him cut down with the sword. And that's a prophetic word, and we're going to see its fulfillment in just a moment. I want us to turn now to the book of 2 Chronicles. Let's go there. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. 2 Chronicles 32, and we're going to pick up at verse number 6. We know the words that Sennacherib sent out, negative words, and God says through Isaiah, don't listen to those words and don't be afraid of them. Well, now Hezekiah has some words of his own for his people. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32, and we're going to pick that up at verse number 6. And it says, he, Hezekiah, appointed military officers over the people, and he assembled them before him in the square at the city gate, and he encouraged them with these words. Guys, the Bible says that our words have the power of life and death. We can encourage or we can discourage. We can speak life or we can speak death over a situation. And so Hezekiah encourages his people with these words, beginning in verse 7. And he says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. Why? For there is a greater power with us than with him. Amen? With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Guys, that's where we need to go in times of crisis. We need to go to the Lord, casting all of our care upon him because he cares for you and for me. Amen? And so he says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. That's the same words in Joshua. Moses told that to Joshua. The Lord told that to Joshua. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. He says, it's going to be okay. Things are going to work out. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And then look at this, the result of those words. The people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. I want us to speak words to people around us that will be a blessing in people's lives, words that will encourage people, words that will inspire people, words that will get them out of maybe a mindset of negativity and go into a mindset of being very positive and knowing that God is with us and God is for us and God is in us. Well, let's go a little bit further. I want us to stay in the same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, but let's skip down to verse number 20 of 2 Chronicles 32. And it says this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. I love that. This nation of Israel at the time, they had two godly leaders. They had a godly king in Hezekiah whose every recorded prayer was answered. Every single one of his recorded prayers was answered as he prayed. But also, they're led by a prophet by the name of Isaiah, one of the major prophets in Scripture. In fact, he wrote next to the book of Psalms. It's the longest book in the Bible, 66 chapters. And so they are leading the nation, and they cried out in prayer to heaven about this invasion of this foreign army. And the Lord sent an angel in answer to their prayer. The Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. In another place in Scripture, it says 185,000 soldiers were killed by that angel that went to the Assyrian camp that night. So when that happened, it says that the Assyrian king withdrew to his own land in disgrace. Now, there's that word disgrace again. Do you remember from earlier when King Hezekiah said, this is a land or a day of distress, a day of rebuke, and it's a day of disgrace for our nation? God turned that around. And this king that said, I'm going to come in and destroy your land, where are the gods that have kept their land from me? So why would you trust this God that Hezekiah tells you about? Well, that king withdrew to his own land in disgrace. And when he went into the temple of his God, some of his sons, his own sons, cut him down with the sword. Just what Isaiah prophesied. he's going to hear a report, a certain report, and he's going to go back to his own land, and he's going to be struck down in his own land. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 22, so the Lord saved Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. Nobody else could touch them either at that point in history. God took care of them on every side. Another translation, God gave them rest on every side. Billy Graham adds this as we come to a close. He writes, cover to cover, the Bible tells of people whose prayers were answered and who turned the tide of history as a result of those prayers. Hezekiah prayed, as we just read, and God spared his nation when the Assyrians attacked. Elijah prayed, and God sent fire to confound the false prophets and consume the offering on the waterlogged altar. Elisha prayed, and the son of the Shunammite woman was raised from the dead. Jesus prayed, and Lazarus came forth from his tomb. Paul prayed, and new churches were born. The early church prayed, and Peter was released from prison. So we, me and you, we can change the course of events if we go to our knees in believing prayer as well. Do you believe that? I believe that, guys. I really do. God hears, but God also answers prayer. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And truly no weapon formed against us shall prosper, the word tells us. So I want us to believe God, to take him at his word, to change the circumstances in our lives as a result of our believing prayers. Amen? Let's just do that today, to just lay hold of the altar of God and just spread out like Hezekiah did. Let's spread out our needs before the Lord. If you need to write them down and say, Lord, hey, just look at this. This is what I'm asking you to do. This is what I'm believing you to do in my life, in my family, in my city, in my country, in my state, around this world. I'm believing you to take complete control. And as we do that, as we see God begin to move in our circumstances as a result of our prayers, I want God to give us rest as well on every side. Are you ready for some peace and rest? Are you ready for your mind to relax? Are you ready for your body to relax? Are you ready to get past all of this junk, all of this fear, all of this stress, all this worry? I think we probably all have had enough by now. Our hearts go out to those that have been infected with this disease. Our hearts especially go out to those that have lost lives and loved ones. But I know that God is going to come through for us. God is going to turn all of this around eventually for our good and for the good of this planet and also for God's glory. The name of Jesus will ultimately be exalted through all of this. I believe that with all my heart. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful that you're still in our midst. Lord, you haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us. Some would try to tell us, Lord, that you have. But Lord, our experience with you knows better. You promise never to leave us, never to forsake us, but to be with us always, even to the end of the ages. And so, Father, here in this house this morning and in all the homes of people that are watching today as well, Lord, I ask you to grace us with your presence. Oh, God, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like your presence when it sweeps into a room, whether it's this room here, Lord, in this building as we gather together as your church today, whether it's in a living room, whether it's at somebody's workplace, wherever they're watching today, Lord, I just ask you to touch them right at the point of their need. Lord, I ask you to drive out every fear, every worry, every bit of doubt, every bit of unbelief. God, bring healing, bring health, healing to those that may be sick, healing to those that have lost a loved one. Oh, God, healing, Lord, in our nation, in all the nations of the world. God, move in a powerful way. God, we just release everything into your hands and into your care. God, we entrust our very lives to you. For our lives, our times are in your hands, and there's no safer place for us to be. And so, Father, move, Father, in every heart, touch every life, meet every need. God, give rest to those that are weary this morning. Strengthen, Lord, the feeble hands and, Lord, the feeble knees, Lord. God, move in a powerful way. Oh, God, out of weakness, Lord, comes your strength. Paul says, whenever I'm weak, then am I really strong because of you. And so, Lord, strengthen us in this hour of crisis. Strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to learn to run to you, to believe you, to take you at your word, to stand on your promises, to claim them, to believe them for ourselves, knowing, Lord, that you are with us and you are for us and you love us with an everlasting love, a love that will never fail. And so, God, touch the hearts and lives of everyone here today and those with us on YouTube as well. Bring healing to homes, to marriages, to relationships. God, pour out your Spirit. God, touch each and every one spiritually today. If anyone needs you as Savior, come in and forgive of sin and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Lord, heal physically, heal mentally and emotionally. Lord, restore relationships, restore all that the enemy has stolen away. Heal financially those that are struggling, Father, those that are in need today. In every area and every aspect of every life, Lord, do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And Father, for all of this, we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys watching this morning, we trust that you've enjoyed this. I pray the Lord has touched you and ministered to you today. Call upon him, just as Hezekiah did. Call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to save your soul, but he also wants to save you out of every crisis you may be going through in your life. God bless you. We love you. Take care.